You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode 94. So, got quite a bit to go through this week, so I'll jump right into it. And stay tuned later. I will also be talking about a new project slash kind of feature to the show and site that I'm testing out for a little while. It's in relation to the Patreon as well. It's going hand in hand, so I'll talk about that towards the end of the episode, so look out for that as well. So with that, just the usual theme news, feature slash app review, the usual news, what I watched, and we'll round it out with the Star Wars profile. So to start it off with this week's theme, the theme is budget. So this is an estimate of your revenues and expenses that you or how you want to allocate those over a future period of time. So it's recompiled and evaluated periodically based on current information. So it can be monthly or quarterly, but ideally you want to keep an ongoing track of where your revenue and expenses will go. So you know, you kind of have that baseline expectation of how much people are spending, whether it's over or under budget, whether it's being allocated properly, and your resources go exactly where you want them to go. So this basically helps you run a business efficiently and effectively because you know where all your money is going. You can drive your business to go in the direction you want it to go. It also starts with some assumptions. So basically, what you're expecting to happen in the upcoming period based on information, trends, expected sales, where the market is, where it's expected to go, upcoming product releases, what products you are expecting to release, and things like that. So there's a number of factors that go into it. So it's not just a normal or just based on past experience, but it's also based on future expectations. So with that being said, I'll jump into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Apple has started sending out invitations for WWDC 2017, which is currently set to happen on June 5th. Amazon has released a new device for your kitchen or home in general, for that matter. It's called the Amazon Echo Show. It's a 7-inch device with basically a screen that's 7 inches big and a speaker underneath. It has 8 microphones with noise cancellation and comes with various features, but it's basically a device based on Alexa that allows you to ask it questions and perform the same tasks your Alexa speaker would do, but with a screen interface. It also comes with Alexa call-in, so you can make video or voice calls along with sending and receiving text messages with other people using the same device, and also letting you check the weather, watch videos, and listen to the music while it shows lyrics on the screen. So the device runs for $230 US, and it's kind of like the merging between an Amazon Echo and their Fire phone. So it seems like an interesting device, so we'll see kind of what people think about it if the market takes to it. But essentially, it's that it's kind of like that tablet in your home device. So if you like the features that your Alexa speaker provides, then this will basically bring that feature set along with a screen. Google has added a new standard called the Street View Certification Standard. So if you have a 360-degree camera or want to provide 360-degree cameras to Street View, then they have a set of guidelines for device makers to implement with their devices to have the best quality pictures for Street View. Google search on mobile got updated with easier listings for event times and dates, so it should be more easy to look at those various bits of information and see what's happening, what's coming up, and get those various filters. Microsoft this week announced a new design guideline called Fluent Design. This is basically UI guidelines for designing Windows 10 or apps based on Windows 10 for the desktop and mobile. So look out for that. I saw a couple of articles that compared it to what Google did with Material Design, so look out for that. And if they do what they've been doing with their apps for iOS and Android, then you'll see probably some of that carry over to other platforms as well. And finally, they also announced that iTunes will be released as part of the Windows Store, so it'll be integrated easily with Windows 10 for, I'm guessing, easier updates and installation and all of that good stuff. So with that being said, I will jump right into this week's review. And this is another custom live wallpaper review, but more on the an update on a review that I did earlier. I know there was one user who was asking if something could be done along these lines, but basically, Google Fits widget is a good widget. It provides you with the basic information of steps, a progress bar, and the total number of steps that are part of your goal. But what if you want a little bit more information, one that's more updated more regularly? And that's where Google Fits integration with Custom Live Wallpaper comes in. So you will need at least the free version of Custom Live Wallpaper. I'll have a link along with the video as far as including the file I created. So if you have the pro version, you can directly import this and build off of this. But essentially with Custom Live Wallpaper, you'll start with a blank slate. And the first thing we'll do is create a progress bar and change it to the circle format. You'll change it to a custom style so that you'll have the minimum set at zero, so you have the no starting points for the zero steps for the start of that day. And your goal of, let's say, 10,000 steps, for me, that I just have that set as the default. And then the level is going to be whatever number of steps you have taken so far. So you'll change that to the formula format. And then you'll select the formula under fitness data for steps taken. So the progress bar will update based on the number of steps you've taken. The default progress bar will just be a regular white, but I changed it to red just to have that material design flavor to it. So, and then it stands out a little bit more as well as far as the progress going on. From here, we'll add some text. So we'll have the usual number of steps taken, but you can also do things like set a formula for percentage complete. So if you have something that's not a normal number, like that's not, for example, 10,000 steps. So if you want to take, for example, 3,712 steps in a day, then you can set a formula based on that. But if you just want to percentage complete it based on the 10,000 steps for easy glance, then you can do that as well. And then you can add things like miles walked. So there's already a formula for distance in miles, so you can set that. And then also set active calories. So if you want to know active calories burned, there's also passive calories, but that kind of messed with how I wanted to see the information. So I just selected active calories, but you set the text, and then depending on how big or small, or even if you set the circle, the progress bar to the circle, then you can adjust the text box to the center of that circle so it lies right in the middle, and you're all good to go. And you now have your own custom live wallpaper that mimics the Google Fit widget itself, but adds a little bit more information as well. And then you'll see my format or my layout as far as having just the steps, miles, and calories at the bottom of the screen along with the progress bar. So you can play around with it and have a home screen set up in custom live wallpaper that fits whatever UI you want. And then of course, if you want to have the Google Fit app launch by touching the text, you can do that by setting a touch action. So that's all there really is for that. There's not much to say about about how to set it up, but there is those various variables set up, so you can set your steps and progress bar and create your own UI as far as having your own Google Fit layout or a Google Fit widget setting custom live wallpaper. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's entertainment segment. So to start off with some news, a new trailer for Blade Runner 2049 was released. So if you want a little bit more of a look into the world they've created, there's that available now. American Gods has been renewed for season 2, so if you're liking the first couple of episodes, then there will be more soon. And finally, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. season 5, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for season 5, so look out for that probably coming later this year or next year. As far as what I read, I had a chance to finish reading Star Wars Aftermath, Empire's End, so I got a chance to see how the Empire has ended, how the New Republic has officially been formed and secured their place in the galaxy. But a bit of a spoiler, which is a small spoiler, but we actually see the early formings of the First Order. We don't really get to see the early days of the First Order itself, but how it came about and how the Emperor Palpatine had actually already planned for the Empire to live on in case he died. I also started reading American Gods. I haven't gotten too far into it, but I have started reading that novel, so I'm trying to, I just need to keep up and get at least to where we are in the second to third episode and try to get as far through the book as I can so I know what's going on throughout, or I can keep up with what's going on throughout season one. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to continue watching the usual stuff. So American Gods Season 1, Episode 2, The Secret of Spoons, Into the Badlands Season 2, Episode 8, Sting of the Scorpion's Tail, Better Call Saul Season 3, Episode 5, Chicanery. So that's a little bit more of the falling out between Saul slash Jimmy and his brother Chuck. I had a chance to watch Gotham Season 3, Episode 7, The Primal Riddle, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 21, The Return. So with that, I'll jump into this week's film review. So for this week's film review, I actually had a chance to watch Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 last weekend, and I will say I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I'll jump right into the review. The movie itself released in the United States on May 5th, 2017. It has a runtime of 2 hours and 16 minutes. A summary of the film is set to the backdrop of Awesome Mixtape Volume or Number 2. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 continues the team's adventure as they unravel the mystery of Peter Quill's true parentage. So, as of the last time I checked, it was getting an IMDb rating of about 82%, with a Rotten Tomatoes score of 81% by the critics and 90% by the audience. So, overall, very well reviewed and rated. I didn't have a chance to compare it to the first one to see if it's doing better or worse. But I will say it was just as fun, just as intriguing and entertaining. I didn't find myself too bored. I wasn't expecting myself to like young Groot character as much as I did in the first, but I actually found I liked it more, and he was actually my favorite character in the movie, so definitely worth watching for Groot. I did enjoy that. So as far as the review goes, if the Ravagers get their own film, I hope it's Judge Dredd in space. So I did like the Ravagers' introduction and how they relate to Yondu and that whole part of backstory. So the Ravagers, or at least the bulk of the Ravagers that we see initially, the captain is played by Sylvester Stallone. So I liked his appearance and his role in the film, and just the whole idea of what he was doing felt like a whole kind of Judge Dredd timeline, or Judge Dredd without the authority, so, or if he was a pirate, space pirate. So I enjoyed that bit of part of the movie. I'd be stoked too if I got a Zune with 300 songs as well, if my last tech from home was 2 cassette tapes. So I actually kind of laughed out loud, and the guy next to me didn't really like that, because he when the Zune popped up, and I don't think he understood the Zune reference that much. But I did own a couple of Zunes when they were available. I think it was a Zune 80 gig and a Zune HD. But I like that that was the latest tech that Yondu had from Earth. And I got the feeling that Star-Lord was thrilled to have 300 songs, and that there was technology to hold that many songs. But I kind of wanted them to have a little bit more as far as that goes. But I did enjoy that scene. I understood the reference, especially owning a Zune. So it was very well placed there. Tron never seems to work out for Kurt Russell. So we had Kurt Russell playing Ego, Peter Quill's father. So that was the bulk of the movie and the storyline. And he was able to build his own world, and he was ended up being stuck there. So it was kind of a role similar to Tron, minus the arcade and technology. So he's basically building him. Basically, it was a natural, organic version of Tron, but it was well done, but it never seemed to work. Or I want to say it was, I think it was Jeff Bridges who played Tron itself, but it didn't really seem to work out. So I guess Tron never really works out for anybody would be the accurate statement there. But I like that storyline. I like the planet. I liked what they did with it, especially bringing in Peter and explaining why he was able to touch the Infinity Stones. So overall, well done. It was intriguing. It kind of bugged me that the planet was powered by just a brain, so that was kind of weird for me, but I guess they did that more for Peter to make it seem more natural rather than just a burst of, or the usual thing that would be a glowing ball of energy, so generally well done. I can't really complain about it too much. And finally, why did Yondu never upgrade his head heart rocket to shoot multiple rockets? So I liked how they brought in, it was kind of cheesy, but it worked as far as how he controls a rocket with his heart. But I kind of was wondering if there was a way for it to be upgraded to have multiple rockets, or maybe it's just because if he has, it's like the whole one heart, one rocket kind of thing. But overall worked out, but it would have been intriguing as far as, since they had gone through the effort to replace his head thing, that if maybe it could handle multiple rockets at the same time. So that's all there is for the review. I will say overall I did enjoy it. I would give it around that 90 to 100% rating. So if you haven't seen the first one, you will not really miss out on too much. You may ask the usual questions of how did they come together, why does Rocket Raccoon be the only one who can talk to Groot and things like that. So that's where the first movie comes into play. So it definitely fills in some of the blanks, but by no means has to be watched if you want to watch the movie on its own. So I will recommend watching it. Definitely worth watching it on the big screen, but will look good as a movie watching it at home as well. But a good movie to watch, so I definitely recommend it. So with that being said, I'll jump into that this week's Star Wars profile, and we'll be done with this week's episode. So for this week's profile, I wanted to cover General Armitage Hux. So I wanted to review him mostly because we get an early look at him at the end of Empire's End and how he got his role in the First Order, why he's on the First Order side to begin with. So he was born on the planet Arcanus and was a son of Commandant Brendel Hux, who served under Emperor Palpatine during the end of the Galactic Empire. Armitage Hux was part of the Imperial forces that retreated into the unknown regions as a contingency plan by Emperor Palpatine. There he was trained in the art of war by his father and Grand Admiral Ray Sloan. And he was part of the rebuilding of the Empire by Grand Admiral Sloan after she had... I'm not sure if this was before or after the rebuilding of the First Order had begun, but I think she ended up killing Armitage Hux's father as well and took over that whole process of creating the First Order. Hux commanded Starkiller Base during the emergence of the First Order, so because of his training and upbringing, and because he was more on the military side, he became a general, one of the more respected members of the First Order, I imagine. He was tasked with working with Kylo Ren to decipher the map to find Luke Skywalker. So because he was an integral part of the First Order, he was given the higher end and more important mission. A couple of notable achievements is that he continued his father's program of training stormtroopers from birth, the same practice used by the Jedi. So rather than using clones, he trained stormtroopers early on to ensure their loyalty, or to ensure that their loyalty was to the First Order rather than anyone else, and taking out those emotions and feelings as well, which obviously had a minimal failure that we saw with Finn. He was raised on the premise of how the Empire brought peace and stability to the galaxy during the time of the Clone Wars. So because the First Order is built on the same similar foundations as the Empire, that's kind of how his upbringing was, so that's why he was also fiercely loyal to the First Order and how he expected the First Order to survive and be run. So that's all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. This week's review and all reviews can be found on YouTube at youtube.com/PatelN01. And the announcement for this week is I have started a new program on Anchor. So it's an app that's available for iOS and Android that allows for up to five minute recordings of just plain audio, and is distributed. And from what I understand, it goes away after 24 hours unless you archive it. But as part of the Season 3 Patreon update, I've started Anchor recordings as far as more immediate releases, announcements, reviews of stuff and just things that are going on during the week. So if you want to follow along with what's going on, then on a more granular basis than just a weekly update, then check out, and I'm just calling this show Accounting Droid. It's available on Anchor. I've already put up a couple of posts on there, so it's on the Twitter feed, twitter.com/patelN01, if you want to check them out. I think they should still be up, but look out for more shows coming there. The app itself is available for free on Android and iOS if you want to check it out. All you have to do is follow the show so you get regular updates, and if you favorite the show, it's easier, or that much easier to get to. And it's less than 5 minutes, so it's not too much time out of your day as well. So I did an initial post on what was coming up for this week's app review, film review, and things like that. I had something I didn't cover in the app podcast too much, but I did cover on Anchor, was that I finished watching season 2 of Mr. Robot. I actually enjoyed it a lot more than season 1. Good finale and good reveal at the end of that season, so definitely worth watching. And with Twin Peaks, or the next season of Twin Peaks releasing on, I think it was May 21st, I'm going to continue watching season 2 of Twin Peaks, or at least as much I can until the next season comes out. But I did read up on it already, so I kind of have an idea of what happens there as far as finding the killer of Laura Palmer and the fallout from that. And I'll have more information on next week's episode as well. But look out for more episodes or more announcements and stuff like that on Anchor. So, and then the website as well has a link to the Anchor channel as well. So PatelN01 has all that information, or PatelN01.com has all that information. And of course, if you like this show and want to find more shows on the Geek IO Network, be sure to visit geek-io.net. But that's all for this particular episode. Thanks for listening, and until next time.